If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Pinkin Channels. And I'm delighted to be joined by Elliot Bennett, of course, a familiar face to every Norwich City fan out there, I'm sure. Elliot, really nice to see you. Thank you for taking some time on what is quite a chilly Friday morning as we're recording this. How are things with you? It's lovely to see you.
Yeah, firstly, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to speak about my time at Norwich. Doing well. It's obviously retired life is very different to playing football, but no, I'm enjoying it so far and cracking on with my housing kind of projects that I'm trying to get off the ground. And yeah, just really enjoying something a bit different, but you know, the lore and love of football will never leave.
I'm sure you had loads of messages from Norwich City fans when you made your announcement of retirement and of all the other clubs you played for as well. How are you feeling a few weeks on from that? Is it a bit weird watching the football season go on and you not being involved in it? Or as you say, it's probably quite enjoyable to be able to crack on with other things at the moment.
Yeah, I think match day is the hard day. You know, when you see the match and you think, oh, you can't, because you can't beat that feeling of being on a pitch and stuff like that. But then, you know, I'm being able to, you know, be more of a dad now. You know, my son's really into football. My daughter is into like singing and dancing and things. So, you know, I just get to do them kind of things really. And, you know, I had my first ever holiday in July a couple of months ago with my family, which was, you know, strange because normally you're in pre-season and right in the thick of the running and things like that. So, yeah, look, it is hard on certain occasions, but in the most part, I'm enjoying this kind of change. You know, there's probably going to be times, you know, in a month, you know, as the months pass on that like I really, really start to miss it. But, you know, currently I'm enjoying doing other things and, you know, still getting my football fix, like I said, by watching my little boy and doing some commentary and things like that.
Yeah, it's whenever you speak to certainly recently retired footballers, they speak about the transition and how difficult that can be to go from dressing room and being around lots of people every day to then not having that. So is this something that you've prepared for when you were playing? How do you sort of look ahead to this period? So like you say, hopefully in a couple of months' time, you're not in that stage where you begin to miss it or start to you know, feel a bit lonely without it and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was planning for it anyway, to be honest. You just get a feeling, you know, when it's the right time. I think, you know, the fact that it was my 600th game on the last game of the season at Shrewsbury, you know, the place I was born. You know, I think sometimes things are written out for you, really. And, you know, I didn't want to ever be that footballer that just keeps playing. You know, people say, oh, his legs are gone. And I didn't want that. Or an injury and then you have to retire. I wanted to go out on my own terms. And, you know, I'm really, you know, pleased and proud of the career that I was lucky enough to have. I'm adjusting all right, to be honest. I've been going down on the building site, helping the lads out. So, you know, I get my kind of fix of other people and the banter and things like that, which is, you know, very similar to, you know, the dressing room. Just without the kicking the ball bit, which, you know, I'll never not miss that. You know, I'm sure you'll see me rocking up on some five-a-side pitches somewhere, just having a kick around. But that was a chapter in my life that I've been very lucky enough to live through. It was a dream of mine. You know, now it's time to, you know, kind of mark two, the next chapter, if you like, just try and do something a bit different and try and make a success of it.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting what you said there about doing it on your own terms, because there's lots of footballers that aren't that fortunate. So, like, as you said, to bookend it, 600th game at the, you know, your the club where you were born, in the place that you were born. As you said, that feels like a really apt ending for your story, doesn't it? Which I'm sure was in your mind. But doing it on your own terms, that must have been really pleasing for you as well, because so many footballers aren't as fortunate as that.
100%. I've had a couple of injuries during my career. You know, obviously the big one at Norwich with my cruciate. Some people don't get that, you know, that option. You know, I was able to prepare for it. You know, my family and my close friends all knew that that was my intentions. Obviously, I know I've only recently announced it, but you know, at the end of last season, we'd spoke about it, and during last season, I was, you know, thinking about doing it. And you know, it just so happened that the 600th game rolled round on the last day of the season at Shrewsbury. I think I had 47 tickets or something like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, family and friends were able to see me, and yeah, it looked like it was a special moment. I was able to, you know, celebrate and do it, you know, in a nice way. Where, like you said, some players don't get that option, unfortunately, and they have to retire due to, you know, a bad injury or something happening, and or even just a case of you not being able to get another club. You know, I'm happy with my career, as I said, and I'm happy with how I chose to end that chapter. You know, you go into football on your own, if you like. You know, I came out of it on my own terms as well, which was, you know, really pleasing.
And just to reflect on your career as well, and sort of apt, you mentioned that walking into it by yourself, if you'd have told, you know, yourself at that stage, taking your first steps in, you know, in football, that you'd play in the Premier League, you'd make over nearly 250 appearances in League One, nearly 200 appearances in the Championship. I think you'd probably have taken that, wouldn't you, at the start of your career as the end route?
Yeah, I wouldn't have taken it. I'd have snapped your hand off. Yeah. I came into, you know, when you're a boy, you've got big dreams, big hopes, and then you go through the system and you're trying to be as good as you can. And, you know, look, I one thing I ever wanted to do was just play one professional football match. You know, obviously as things progressed, your goals kind of changed. But, you know, when I look back now and think, you know, I played at the highest level possible, which blows my mind still now, because I was never the best player. Just, you know, a bit of luck. Someone, you know, in Paul Lambert, especially, that liked what I could bring to the football club and what he liked, what he saw in me. And yeah, very fortunate, as I said, to have reached those levels. And I just look back on it in real pride, really. And, you know, it still kind of feels surreal that I've achieved those things.
Yeah, but we'll come on to the Norwich Bell at the moment. But of course, I've got to ask you in terms of what's next here. I know you've spoken about these housing projects. Is there a plan to go back into football and try and go into the coach? I know Bradley Johnson and whatnot has gone down that route. Are you sort of looking to follow a similar path, go slightly different direction? Not quite sure yet. Where are you sort of at with your plans?
Yeah, slightly different. I'm hoping to, you know, stay in football in some capacity, whether that's like mentoring. I've spoken to a local club about, you know, perhaps like doing some ambassadorial stuff, and just trying to help. I like helping people, whether that's football. If I can add some experiences that I've had to younger players, so that's kind of something that I'm interested in. And then I'm doing the commentary on the Shrewsbury games this season. With the radio, and then BBC Radio Norfolk have also contacted me about doing some Norwich games in and around the Midlands, which would be, you know, an honour to sit and come and watch some of them games and commentate on them. So yeah, like I said, I'm quite relaxed at the minute. See, the housing kind of development takes up quite a lot of time, but I want to stay in football in some capacity. I don't think going down the coaching role would be for me. In the professional game, but you know, my brother's got a kind of coaching academy in the local area for younger kids, which, you know, I enjoy going down to, and I'm actually there tonight to go and do that. So yeah, that's probably as far as coaching would go for me, I'd imagine.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, and it's different for every player, isn't it, once they call time. So no, that sounds lovely. And I know Norwich fans will be absolutely delighted to you on Radio North, because you have been before as well. So yeah, that'll be good. Let's reflect then on your time at Norwich. I mean, even now, I think, and we're what, just over 10 years on from when you joined the club. But being a, oh, I know it's gone so quickly. But you know, even your journey, I think, is interesting because you were at Brighton in League One at that stage. To take the jump from League One into the Premier League, that must have been quite something, because it's certainly not a route you see so much of now. I know Norwich did it with a couple of other players, but when that opportunity presented itself, I mean, what was your feelings at that point? Because it's a massive, massive step.
Yeah, excitement, surprised, pinch yourself, and then, you know, finally daunting, to be honest. As you said there, I was at Brighton for 2 years, loved my time down there. We won the league in League One to go into the Championship, and then, you know, I'd never played one Championship football match, and all of a sudden I'm rocking up at the beautiful stadium in the background that we can see there to sign for a Premier League team, which, you know, surpassed anything I ever thought possible for myself and my football career. You know, I was walking into a dressing room of winners as well, really, because although the group hadn't played in the Premier League, or none of the players in the group had played in the Premier League, they'd all just been promoted out of the Championship. A lot of them had promoted, you know, back-to-back from League One as well. So, yeah, it was crazy, crazy time, but one that I was, you know, really, really grateful for, and I'll be forever grateful to, you know, to Paul Lambert, to Delia Smith, you know, the owners at the football club for, you know, making my dreams come true.
Yeah, it was a real show of faith in you, wasn't it, as a player to put, like you say, never played a Championship game, to say, actually, no, this guy's ready for the Premier League. And that kind of feels like something that Paul Lambert did really well at Norwich, to get a group together of people who maybe were not grateful, that's the wrong word, but really determined to do well because of the opportunity that the football club had given them, and almost sort of getting that mentality together in a dressing room seemed to obviously give you real success in the Premier League in that first season.
Yeah, I think he's just a smart manager, really good man management from him. As you said there, brought players in that had never experienced the Premier League, and I think got everything out of every individual possible to make sure we did well. We all had a point to prove. We were all, you know, hungry, desperate to do well. And, you know, if you look at that first season, I think some of the moments during that were special times. And, yeah, I think it was just the way that he dealt with us all, really, and gave us that inner belief that we deserve to be there. And, you know, he often used to say about, you know, don't worry about the cameras, don't worry about stadiums. The pitch is the same. The goals haven't changed since I was playing. And, you know, kind of everyone then kind of got on board with it. And then when we started to pick up results, you're like, you start to believe what he's saying. Do you know what I mean? And that was really, really powerful. And I think that's what, you know, helped a lot. Well, helped myself, but it helped a lot of the boys that had, you know, probably looking at it thinking, do I deserve to be here?
That sort of leads on to my next question, because you spoke about it being daunting. Was there a moment for you where it's like, wow, I'm in the Premier League, I'm here? Is there one moment that really stands out as being that sort of point in your head?
Yeah, Old Trafford, early on in the season. I think we lost 2-0. We actually did really, really well, but that was, yeah, that was the most daunting I've ever felt on a football pitch. Like just walking out, my dad's obviously no longer with us anymore, but he was a massive Man United fan. So I had the emotion of like thinking, like my dad's watching his son at his football team at Old Trafford, 6,000 people. Like, and I'm like, you stand in the corner of that stadium. Obviously, it's a bit down the tunnel, and you walk up, and you're like, you've got that big mammoth stand opposite, which you try your best not to look up at, but as soon as you see it, you're like, oh no. And I'd say that was the moment I was like, wow, you know, standing next to Rooney in the tunnel and all these players, you're thinking, how am I here, kind of thing. So yeah, that was probably the moment for me.
And as a group of players, I mean, it's interesting, you kind of spoke about the dressing room dynamic, but you look at some of the places you went and got results. Anfield, you obviously beat Tottenham, which we'll come on to in due course. I can't remember if you got close at Chelsea or you drew, but you definitely gave them a good game. And then that style of play, that fearlessness that you had, I think that's something that really stands out warmly to fans when they think back on, you know, that group of players that you were involved in. So can you pinpoint maybe why that was the case? Did that all come from sort of manager down and his approach to it because of some of the things that he was saying to you, as you outlined earlier?
Yeah, definitely. I think you only have to look at, obviously everyone knows about Paul Lambert's playing career, you know, a boy out of Scotland goes and wins the Champions League and has to mark Zidane in the final. Like, so if he can do it, and that's, you know, that was basically what he was trying to say to us, like, look, like, I probably didn't think that was possible for me either, but I've achieved it. And when you can see that someone's done something so incredible and they believe in you that you can do it as a group, it gives you massive confidence. And I think we just played with a bit of a, if we're going to lose trying to win. Don't just come into the Premier League and be happy to sit back all the time, and you're going to get beat anyway. So you might as well have a go at trying to win, and you know, who knows where it takes you. And I think the fact that we picked up some really good results early on, I think that gave everyone the confidence and the spirit. And obviously you're going to take your knocks along the way during a Premier League season. You know, we went to Man City and got beat heavily, got beat at home as well by them. You know, not that you should accept that, but I think everyone would understand that, you know, it was always going to be a tough challenge. But we, like you said, we went to some amazing places and drew at Anfield, beat Tottenham, obviously. We drew at Arsenal away at the Emirates, which, you know, that they're incredible things to do for, you know, a newly promoted team. It's not like it was always at Carrow Road and we're nicking a 1-0. We drew 3-3 at Arsenal with the likes of Van Persie on the pitch. You think, incredible. And I think that was a lot down to the manager and the belief that he instilled in all of us.
And just quickly on Paul Lambert, is it a shame to see the way that it's gone with Norwich fans with him? Because he's gone from, you know, as you've mapped out, club legend, and I'm sure that period of time he'll always be reflected as that. But what's happened subsequently, and obviously moving to Ipswich and everything that happened in the derby, is it a shame that it's kind of panned out like that, given what he gave to the club during that period of time?
Yeah, of course. But, everything, time moves on, everything moves on. I think no one could look back at the time that he had at Norwich and not have massive respect for that period. You know, things happen afterwards, that are out of certain people's control. I think, you know, would Paul Lambert like to still have that same connection with the Norwich fans? Probably, but, you know, things change. And in the cold light of day, when everything has settled down and, you know, 5-10 years have passed on, people remember the bit that, you know, League One promotion. Didn't he come in after you lost 7-1 to Colchester or something?
That's right. Yeah.
And then went, well, bang, League One done, Championship done, Premier League 12th place finish. It's like the special kind of moment in time, but that's all it is. You know, things in football, you know, kind of move very quickly. And, you know, yeah, it is a shame that things have happened since, but you know, that's just life. Things happen.
Indeed. Right. Let's speak about that. I'm going to flash this picture up, which I'm sure is a very memorable day to you. And I always, you know, feel bad speaking to footballers about one game, because you said you had 600 of them. So just to speak about one game, it is one that is obviously hugely memorable to Norwich fans. Of those 600 games, I mean, that's got to be pretty close to being the best one, isn't it?
That is the one. Yeah, that is number one. Obviously, I had promotion with Blackburn, promotion with Brighton, obviously promotion with Norwich in the Championship playoff final. But that moment was almost like the one moment, or it took me to that long to realise that, like, I'm worthy of being a professional footballer, which might sound like crazy to say that, because I think I played 200 games before that point, but for a long period in my career, I didn't see myself as a professional footballer. I was just, every day I was like kind of an imposter. I felt like an imposter, like, I'm, how am I here? How am I with them? Why am I going here? Why am I playing against them? And that moment kind of was a bit of like a seal of, not a seal of approval. It's hard to put into words what it was, but that kind of, I think you can see on my face that's a raw emotion of like, wow, I've done something that I never, ever, ever thought possible. And it's going to be on Match of the Day. Like a programme that I'd grown up watching. You know, obviously you can't record it, but you used to get up in the morning early to watch. You'd be in bed. And I was thinking, like, I'm going to be on Match of the Day. And my dad texted me after that game and just said, like, you've done it, son. Like, nah. And then for me, then from there, I was like, pfft. So that's probably the game, just because it's such a, it was a big moment in my career. And obviously it turned out to be a winner, which is always nice. You know, that goal wouldn't have meant as much if we'd have, you know, got beat 5-1. But the fact that we won was a special, special day.
Yeah, and it's often you speak to footballers about moments like that where they have, where they're so memorable and they really stand out. And sometimes it's, you know, they can recall it kick by kick and they can remember everything that went through their heads. And sometimes it was just a blur. So which one of it is for you? Can you remember lining up the shot and thinking about it? Or is it just, no. Did it just sort of pass you by almost?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think when I put the ball up, I didn't really have the intention of shooting. The space just opened up, and then, yeah, like from that moment, I turned. I can't even say I remember it. I'll be completely honest. I can't remember what was going through my mind, what I was thinking. I can't remember. Just the emotion afterwards, really. Just the going to celebrate that end as well. It helped that it was at the Norwich end. So, yeah, I look back now and it's incredible, like an incredible moment.
And as a group more broadly, you mentioned about the approach, but the fact you were able to stay, I know you stayed in the Premier League the year after as well, but you look at how much Norwich, and I guess not just Norwich, newly promoted teams have struggled since. Is there a... not a secret, that's too sort of deep, but is there a thing that you can pinpoint that as to why as a group and as a team you were able to almost crack that code on two occasions when the club and other clubs have found it so difficult to do that? Is it just the gap now in the modern game has got a little bit bigger?
Possibly, but I also think it's going there with, or having the courage of your kind of conviction to just throw yourself at it. Not me personally, because I don't think I've got that kind of attitude, but I feel like the club at that time with the manager, there was a massive feel-good factor around the place, you know, League One promotion, Championship promotion. And it's kind of like, if you're going to get relegated, like at least have a go, at least make it exciting. When people turn up to the ground, they're thinking, we could win today 3-2, or we could get beat 5-2. But do you know what? They're all good. They're going to try to win. You know, I think so often now, obviously, listen, the gap is getting bigger. It's going to keep getting bigger. But I think the frustration comes for, you know, Norwich fans maybe, or fans of clubs of newly promoted teams, that, like, I think all fans really want is to see their team have a good go. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you used to play, like, in the FA Cup, you'd be in League One, you play a Premier League team, and everyone's like, oh, the magic of the FA Cup. Is it the magic of the FA Cup, or is it? Well, it is. Sorry, don't let me be disrespectful to the FA Cup. Or is it just, it's a one-off game. The manager, everyone around the club's like, let's just have a good go today. If you think that's kind of what we did for 38 games in a Premier League season, every game felt like an FA Cup game where we're the underdog. Go and have a go. And that's kind of how it felt. That's how it went. You know, I think if you have to look at recent times, you look at Luton Town last season. Yeah. I know ultimately they got relegated, but I think they, not that anyone would be happy to get relegated, no chance. But if you're going to get relegated, do it that way.
Yeah.
Do it. Do you know what I mean? Have a real good go at it. Right, good bash. No one was expecting to stay up anyway. Surprise a few people, and they almost done it, which, you know, it's like, you think about it, it's crazy, but they did it from a point of, they kind of, everyone respected the way that they tried to go about it. They played their way, they had a good go, and ultimately came up short because of the quality of the Premier League. But that's, you know, one of them things where you have to look at it and go, we tried our best. Well, I think the frustration from a lot of fans comes when they see a team that, you know, like a Norwich team, let's just go to Norwich for, what year was it, 16, 17, 17, 18, one of them, where absolutely battered the Championship. I think I was there the day that you won the league, or with Blackburn, we came and the team was incredible. Way it played, Max Aarons, oh, it was Buendia, so hard to play against, Pukki. But then you go into the Premier League and it's almost like playing scared.
Mm.
And I'm not saying the players were playing. It's easy to say when you're just watching, you're looking. I'm saying from a player's point of view of when I've played against that team in the Championship and then gone to watch in the Premier League, it didn't have the same feeling, which maybe is probably where the frustration comes from sometimes with supporters.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of supporters will definitely resonate with what you've said there. And we've mentioned the highs of your time at Norwich. Just to touch upon the low of it, that injury that you mentioned earlier on. I mean, what are your sort of reflections on that now? Is it one of regret? Because obviously, ultimately, you can't do anything about injuries and they pop up when they pop up. But is there frustration at the time that it came, like you say, when you had the high and it was sort of during a real sort of upwards, when your career was on an upwards trajectory, was it frustrating that it came at that stage of your life and your career?
Yeah. Oh.
There we go. We've got you back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. It was bad timing, you could say, in terms of my career. But the fact that, look, a lot of players have had injuries. Many players get injuries. It was definitely the lowest point of my career. I can remember hearing, getting the news and just bursting out into tears. You know, there would have been it was the first game of the season, so it would have been another season where I might have, you know, made another 20, 30 Premier League appearances. But when I look back, I was blessed, lucky to have played one Premier League game. As I said before, all I wanted to do is play one professional game at, you know, League Two level, say. Fact of the matter is, I got injured, and you know, I'll be forever grateful to Delia Smith and obviously Chris Hughton at the time, because I was no use to anyone, but they gave me, you know, a new contract that we'd been speaking about before, but they honoured that contract instead of saying, like, we'll wait till you come back. And I think, you know, for me, that was, you know, a massive thing I learned from as well, that, you know, about, by treating people right, you know, some eventually it comes back round. And you know, unfortunately, the injury was just, that was my time to get an injury. And you know, but I'm so lucky that I managed to come back from it and, you know, play as many games after that as I did.
Absolutely. And just finally, in terms of the reflections, I've got to ask you about Wembley. And I know you didn't get on the pitch that day in terms of the actual game, but as a day and as an experience, I mean, that as you said earlier on, you've had many promotions. That must have been quite incredible to be a part of as that group, particularly the run that sort of preceded it and that you went on under Alex Neil at that stage.
Yeah, one of the best days of my career, that. Because not, and again, it goes down to the fact that I'm about the team. Personally, obviously wanted to get on the pitch. Gutted I didn't, you know, even touch the pitch for a minute, if you know what I mean, like as in playing time. But the fact that, you know, got to warm up at Wembley, go in that the dressing rooms, and you know, we won the game so comfortably, promoted back to the Premier League. Like, yeah, I didn't play, but that was a special moment for the football club. You know, obviously Norwich have since had, you know, a few promotions and things like that. But you know, if you ask anyone that was there on that day that, you know, saw the other promotions as well, that going up that way, if you can guarantee you go up that way, it is the best way by a mile. Because that feeling of walking up them steps, you know, one side of the ground's red on in this case, and the other side's yellow and green, and you're like, you come out as a player, you're like, wow, this is incredible. One of the, yeah, a real, real special day. Obviously, I didn't get on the pitch, but, you know, so pleased that I was part of that group and got to experience such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, and obviously throughout your career, as you say, you had other promotions. You had a wonderful spell at Blackburn, Shrewsbury as well, Brighton. You've mentioned a lot of clubs that you've played for. But your relationship with Norwich still feels really special. It still feels like fans are really warm towards you and the contribution that you gave. So just in terms of that football club, can you try and put into words what it means to you and what it's sort of done for your life? You said made you a Premier League player, given you some wonderful memories. I mean, how do you sort of reflect on that club and everything that it's done for you in your life?
I owe a lot to that, to Norwich, a lot. The place, amazing. I mean, it's out in the middle of nowhere. It takes forever and a day to get there. But when you're there, so friendly, beautiful part of the world. I just warm to the people straight away. I felt like I warmed to them, they warmed to me. I think they could see that I felt so privileged to pull on that shirt and play in the Premier League for them. And I think that's where kind of the relationship kind of stemmed from, really, that I've like I said before, I'm not in this whole like footballers, and I'm a human being. I'm just fortunate enough to be able to play football, and you know, the honour of representing all the clubs that I've had, representing all I've ever tried to do is be one of them on the pitch, to try and lead everything out there, whether I'm good, bad, or indifferent. When I come off that pitch, you know I've tried to give everything. You can have a bad game, but you can't not try. And I think that's what fans of football clubs want. And I think that's why the Norwich fans kind of warm to me. We've got a connection because, as I said, I'm just a council estate kid that managed, that, you know, had the privilege of living out a dream.
Yeah, and I think you could definitely see that every time you were on the pitch for everybody. But yeah, definitely can speak to that at Norwich. Just finally then, let's sort of get your thoughts on where Norwich are at the moment, because it's an interesting time at the club. Summer, new head coach, obviously gone in a slightly different direction in terms of their recruitment. Nobody needs to tell you how difficult the Championship is. What do you make of it all, watching on from afar? I know you've still got a couple of friends in that dressing room that you've sort of played with and whatnot. What do you make of everything around the club at the moment?
I think it's really, I think it's a trend, like you said, it's a transitional period. I think the club had so many years of kind of dominating the Championship, going to the Premier League, coming back down, now we're going back up again. And with that, obviously, you get the kind of really exciting Championship winning thing, and then you go in the Premier League and it's hard and you get relegated, but then you know, we're going to bounce back. Obviously, that's only sustainable for so long, and I think the fact of the matter is, you know, the club lost during that time some big, big key players that were massive parts of the reason why the club did that. And then, you know, obviously then you're looking for, well, if we lose that person, how do we replace them? You know, maybe that's not been done perfectly. But, you know, every club goes through periods and moments in time where, you know, I think it was 10, 15 years ago, West Brom were that team, up, down, up, down, up, down. Then they have a little transitional period where they're not kind of flirting with going up again. Transitioning, and now they've come, you know, they look like they've come out the other side and are going to be a strong outfit this season. And you know, I just think it's moments in time. All football clubs have them, and you know, hopefully Norwich can see that transition happen quicker and more smoothly than maybe some of the other clubs. And you know, Norwich is a big football club. People would be, you know, a lot of players would love to the honour of playing for Norwich, and that's always going to have its, you know, attractions and to attract good players.
Yeah, and to specifically, I wanted to ask you about Grant Hanley and Shane Duffy. I'm correct in saying you played with both of those at Blackburn, one of those?
Yeah, both of them.
And obviously, it's an interesting dynamic at the moment because they're two very experienced players in what is quite a young dressing room. And as a result, because the club are going in a slightly different direction, and obviously Grant's had a major injury and whatnot, I think there has been maybe some criticism towards both of those for their performance levels. I mean, just speak to us about how important experienced players are in general, but also those two guys as characters are. Being in a younger dressing room, as you say quite rightly, is one that's transitioning to something quite different. How important are figures like those two?
I think everyone likes to have young, exciting players. I love watching them. I love seeing the next, you know, next best thing coming up. But you have to have a core group of experienced players that know what what the standards are. When I'm not saying that you can't, you know, experienced players don't play bad. You can play bad. The standards are for the football club. That's in training, how you carry yourself, how you act around the place. And when you have bad times in games, they're the players, you need them players to make people feel like it's okay. Because if you get a bunch of young lads, of all they've done is have, you know, smoke blown up the proverbial, and then something goes wrong, how do they deal with it? If you don't, if they've never done it, they've never had an experience of it, how do they deal with that? So I think experienced players are really, really important. And as you said there, them two have got masses of experience, Premier League, Championship, you know, Grant and Shane, both of them played at international level as well. So you know, it'd be key for Norwich for them to have a positive influence on, like you said, a young group.
Elliot, thank you so much for your time. Really enjoyed chatting to you. It's been nice to reminisce about your time at Norwich. And of course, yeah, good luck for everything in the future. And yeah, I think we'll all be looking forward to hearing you on Radio Norfolk again.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.